What a cool story. Being aware of where God is moving is an incredible gift. To be watching and waiting for Him to do His incredible thing. And I love that. In the name of Jesus, there's nothing that He cannot do. And there's all power in the name of Jesus as we wait and as we watch. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are with us every moment of every day. You're with us in the joy. You're with us in the fear. You're with us in those times that we feel absolutely alone. And the greatest thing is You are always moving among us. If we open our eyes and simply see where You're at work. Lord, we thank You for the greatest work that You've done, and that is through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we have opportunity to open Your Word together again, would You speak to our hearts? Would You remind us of Your incredible love? And would You draw us closer to You? In Your name we pray. Amen. There's no worse feeling than feeling like you've missed out on something, isn't there? You ever been in that place where it seems like everybody got to experience something and you missed out? You know, they come to you and they're like, oh man, we had this great party last night or this great thing that happened yesterday. And immediately you're like, what was this all? I didn't see anything. And then they say to you that line that you never want to hear. Well, you got the email, didn't you? And right then in that moment, you're kind of faced with a lose-lose situation. Because you either have to admit that you didn't read the email or that you have a really bad memory. One of the two is going to come along. So, but that feeling of being in or out of the know, that feeling of missing out on something, that's not a fun place to be in. And so I guess the great thing that we can talk about today is watching, waiting, being prepared. We've talked about the what ifs over the past couple of weeks. We talked about Mary. What if Mary had said no to the angel and to being the mother of Jesus? What if Joseph had said no to marrying Mary and divorcing her quietly or doing something worse? What would have had the impact that those would have had? This morning I want to look at the wise men, or the magi, as we see over here with the light on them. The what if question for them, and really the story of the magi is kind of one of those tucked in stories that their impact wasn't necessarily as much a global impact or a huge impact, but it's one that they were greatly impacted. And they were impacted because they were aware, they were watching, they were waiting for something to occur. And we see this story in Matthew chapter 2. So if you take your Bibles and turn there with me, we're going to read the story of the Magi. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And our question that we're going to ask this morning is, what if the Magi had not been watching? Here's the story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now again, as you look at this story, the question of what if they had not been watching, what if they had not been waiting, what would have happened? The truth is, probably today it wouldn't have impacted us in any way whatsoever. There's no prophetic ramifications of this. There's no global impact of this. But what we do see is the personal, very personal implications of the fact that they were watching, that they were waiting. And what would they have missed out on personally if they had not been watching for the star? And on that same line, what will we miss out on if we're not watching, if we're not aware of what God is doing? And we see really in this story, it's not just the Magi of the story, but we see other characters as well. We see Herod, King Herod, and we see the chief priests and the teachers of the law that are in this. And each one of them have a part of this story, and they each one have an outcome in this as well when it comes to what was the impact on whether or not they were watching. Because we clearly see that the wise men or the Magi were watching for the star. This was the whole thing. They were watching. Herod was not watching, and believe it or not, really the Jewish teachers were not watching either. And we see some comparisons here between these different characters. We see, for the first thing, is we actually see when they were watching, there is anticipation versus apathy. Anticipation versus apathy. We see in the story, it says that the Magi came to Herod and they said, "Where is the one who has been called the King of the Jews? We have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, we could go down all kinds of different avenues about the star and what was the star and all of this and what did the star mean, because there is some historical thoughts about what the star meant to them. But the point that we're getting to here is simply this. They saw the star rise. Why? Because they were looking for the king to come. They were awaiting this Messiah. Even though the incredible part of this is these men were not Jews. They were not of the people of Israel. They were of a completely different nation. They came from the east. And here they come expecting to find the king of the Jews, the one in whom the star had come in. They were anticipating the coming of the king. They knew what the Old Testament prophets had said. For example, in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth." These guys were studiers. That's why they're called wise men. I mean, they weren't necessarily titled wise men. They were magi. They were astronomers. They were diviners, some would say. They were different people of that, but they were always watching and looking to the stars. They were trying to figure out how things were going on. So they were always looking to what was going on. They were watching. However, you look at Herod, you look at the Jewish leaders, they weren't watching for the King of the Jews to come. They had no idea what was going on. And actually what you see is not anticipation. You see an apathy that's going on. I find it quite comical because here comes these guys and they're all excited. Where is this king we've been looking for? And Herod goes to the Jews who should have been the ones that were excited, right? These are the people that should have been awaiting the coming Messiah. And he goes, "Hey, where is this one that you guys call the King of the Jews? Where is he to be born?" And they're like, "Oh, well, you know, the Bible kind of says in Bethlehem, you know." The interesting thing about this is you don't see them doing anything. They knew the prophecies, but they were okay with where they were at. And really, their mentality was, we've got plenty of time. This is not the Messiah. You know, it says that it would happen there, but it's not the time right now. And the truth was, they didn't want the Messiah really to come, because they were okay with their power, with their authority. Herod didn't want the real king of the Jews, because that was his throne. He was comfortable with his throne. There was no anticipation that was there, just apathy. And this is the common thing that we see today as well. You see, the common thought of our culture today is that, well, yeah, you know, Jesus is going to come. He's going to return, but it's not going to happen today. There's still time. We still have plenty of time. Yet 1 John 3, verse 2, look at what it says. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, when we have this idea of Jesus is coming, it could be today, there's a sense of anticipation, because we're like, look, we shall see him. Everything will change. We will be like him. Paul in Romans 8, 22 and 23 says, we know that whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. He gives us actually the reason to be anticipating this, to be watching for this. You know, we look at it and we go, you know, one day Jesus is going to come, and that's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be pretty amazing. But then he says, look, we're going to have new bodies, redeemed bodies, glorified bodies. Let me ask you this question. Did anybody wake up this morning feeling really good? You probably woke up this morning and rolled over and went, oh, my back, oh, my legs, oh, my hip, whatever it is. There was something that you didn't like this morning, wasn't it? Now, could you imagine that when he returns, all of that is gone? We will have new bodies that will be like his. Can you anticipate that? Isn't that going to be amazing? Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, he also continues on this and he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious bodies. Now, if that doesn't get you excited, then you're not anticipating the coming of Jesus. When we are watching and waiting, we feel this anticipation grow, and we begin to look at it not as if it's way off, but as if it could happen at any moment. Jesus could come bursting through the clouds. Are you watching for it? Then we see another aspect of this. When we're watching and when we're waiting, joy versus bitterness. Today is the candle of joy. When we are aware of what God is doing, when we're watching for it, we begin to see and we begin to experience this joy and excitement of the anticipation. Talk to any hunter that goes out into the woods and you ask them about that moment when that big old buck comes walking in on them. You know what it's like. Have you been out there? You know, it's like you're sitting there. You could be sitting there for hours and days, and all you hear are squirrels, right? And you get so frustrated, and all of a sudden you hear something. You hear that crunching of the leaves. What happens to you? All of a sudden your heart stops, right? You're like, is that it? Is it coming? And then all of a sudden you see the movement and you see that deer that's walking in, and you realize he's got a lot of antlers sticking out of his head. Even the coolest guy in that moment almost wets himself. There's this thing that happens, and all of a sudden he's sitting there. The most seasoned hunter is going, I think every deer in the woods is hearing my heartbeat right now. Their mouth goes dry. Their hands are shaking. And all of a sudden, there's this tunnel vision that starts coming in, you know, when it gets dark along the edges. because they realize they haven't been breathing. The joy of seeing that deer that they've watched for, they've anticipated for. Notice what it says about the Magi. It says, when the star appeared, they were overjoyed. Now, does anybody walk out today and go, I lost my breath over the stars that I saw in the sky last night? No. They saw the star that they had been looking for. There's millions of stars in the sky, but there was one that they had been watching for. And when that star came, it brought joy to their heart. Now, did Herod see that star? Maybe. Maybe not. We don't know. But the one thing is we know he did not experience joy at the announcement of the coming of the child of God. As a matter of fact, he had a very different feeling. The Magi were excited. They experienced joy. Herod immediately felt bitterness in his heart. There was now a competitor who was here for his throne. Because understand who Herod was. He wasn't the king of the Jews. He was the king over the Jews. He was the one that had been placed there to make sure everything was as it should be. He was a Marian. He shouldn't have even been their king. But yet there he was, and all of a sudden this announcement. Could you imagine being a king, and then these guys come to you and they say, hey, where is the actual king? He didn't experience joy in that moment. It was the bitterness of his heart. But what about the Jewish leaders? Did they experience anything at all? You know, it's quite the story. We don't see a whole lot about what happens with them. But one thing that we can assume is that they pretty much wrote him off even in that moment. We see that they don't go finding him. They don't go in search of him. They didn't watch to see who he was. They didn't necessarily even watch him as he grew up. But when his ministry starts, their bitterness grows for who he is. When we are watching, we become much more joyful about it. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 6, Peter says these words, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." I like what he says. We can have joy even in the struggles. Why? Because we know what is to come. We're watching for what is to come. Eternity is going to happen. Christ is going to return. We have a lot to be thankful for. Another great passage that points to this is found in John chapter 16, verses 19 through 21. And it says, "Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, 'Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world.'" This is exactly the point. When we're watching and waiting for Christ to return, we know that we'll have all of the joy for all of eternity. And understanding that we have that, we can live in joy in the moment right now. Could you imagine if for a moment Herod would have understood the true ramifications of Jesus, the King of the Jews, the Messiah? He could have easily come to the point to say, you know what, for a while I may lose my throne, but what I will gain for all eternity is way more important. What we experience here on earth cannot be matched for what we will experience when he returns. Do you ever dream about that moment? You ever dream or think about that time when Jesus comes bursting through the clouds and all of a sudden we're ushered into eternity with him? You see, I think even sometimes we in our culture, in our time, what we like to do is we like to not get so excited about it. But John says in Revelation 19, verses 6 through 8, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and the like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. The fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear.'" What an incredible picture that will be. You know, there's those times where I've been at like general counsel, where you're with thousands of other brothers and sisters in Christ, and you start singing those great songs of the faith, and the place just erupts with sound. It is such an incredible feeling. And you sit there and joy begins to well up because all you can think of is this is but a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like and what a poor example it will be because it's going to be so much better when we get there. Joy is experienced when we are watching. But then we see a third part of this as well. And as I just said, worship. Our worship is impacted. And really what we experience, this is worship versus rejection. In Matthew, it says that when the Magi came to the home where Jesus was, they worshiped him. This is such a cool thing. It's a child. They walked into the house and it says that they saw Jesus there with his mother and they bowed down and worshiped him and gave him gifts. Now understand, these were not baby gifts. This was not like pacifiers and those diapers, you know, that probably had the cloth ones back then. But, you know, all of these things that you would give, these were kingly gifts. They brought gifts that they would take to another king, and they laid him before him, and they worshiped him as a king. They worshiped him as the Son of God. Their anticipation for that moment was so great that it caused them to worship. Herod and the Jewish leaders had a very different response. As we already know, Herod became bitter in his and he set out to kill the children. And it says that one of the greatest massacres in all of history occurred where he went to Bethlehem and slain all the boys that were 2 years and under. Why? Because he had rejected the Messiah. He wasn't watching. He wasn't thinking of who he was coming to save and what he was there to do. All he knew was that there was this guy that was now going to want to take his throne. As we wait for the coming of our Messiah, it should impact the way in which we worship. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, what a great passage. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Yeah. Isn't that great? We are receiving an eternal kingdom, one that cannot be shaken, one that cannot be overthrown, one that is for all eternity. And what should the result of that be? Worship. That we would intentionally engage in worship. And what does this worship look like? Well, Paul gives us a picture of it in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Very common verse that we hear. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Our worship is not simply the praise of the lips. This is only a part. What we do here on Sunday morning is only a part of that worship that the anticipation, the watching should bring us to. It is a lifestyle in which we choose to live for Him. The Magi came and they brought Him gifts of worship. They gave Him gifts that were important to them. Herod didn't bring Him a gift. The Jewish leaders didn't bring Him a gift. They rejected Him as the one in whom was coming to save the world from their sins. They just wanted to have their own thing. Are we worshiping while we wait for the coming of Christ? Because it should impact it. But I want us to look at one last thing that we see here. Leading versus silence. When we are watching for God, for Jesus to come, that watching results in seeing where God is leading. That's what I love about the video that we saw in the beginning. When we're watching for God to move, we see God move. When we don't look for God to move, God tends to be silent. The Magi, it says that they had been watching for the star. They had been looking for it. They had been anticipating this. They came there and it wasn't done. Just because they saw Him didn't mean that they were done. Excuse me. And they didn't hear anymore. As a matter of fact, it said, in a dream, God said to them, take another way home. Because Herod wants to hurt the child. Don't go back to him. Don't tell him what you found. Why is it that they were able to do that? Well, simply because of the fact that they were sensitive to His leading in that moment because they had been watching so intently for the star to arrive. And I love this about the story. We know that Herod hadn't been watching. We know that the chief priests and the teachers of the Jewish teachers had not been watching. And in this story, what we do not see is we do not see any kind of announcement that came to them. God was silent to the ones that the world would have thought that God would have talked to first. Why? Because they weren't watching. They weren't looking. They weren't anticipating His coming. There is no story that we see in the Bible where an angel comes to them and announces the birth of the Messiah. Watching and waiting is critical to our hearing the voice and experiencing the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36 says, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Notice the words that it says there. Be careful. Be watching. Be aware of what's happening, because if we're not watching, if we're not careful, the world will creep in and it begins to take over all of the noise that happens in our head. Understand this. When Christ comes, it's not going to be posted on Facebook a day ahead of time. It's not going to be in our bulletins. We try to give you guys all of the things up front. You know, we give you the bulletins, we give you the PowerPoints, we give you the e-news, and so you're able to see, hey, guess what's happening next week? You can do that. That is never going to happen for Jesus' return. He's going to come when we least expect it. And when that happens, are we watching for it? Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." The more that we watch, the more that our minds are on the things of God and the things not of this world, the more we see God leading in our lives. If we don't, then one of the things is we miss out because we begin to hear what the world is saying much louder and we begin to go into those. I want to look at one more passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 that has to deal with this. It says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Watching means that we are living every moment in the expectation of His return. As we do that, we begin to see God moving among us. We become more aware of the sin in our lives. We become more aware of those things that are bringing us away from who God is. On the flip side, as we begin to think that we have the time, Jesus won't return, not during my lifetime, we tend to let the voice of God slip further and further out of our lives. And we tend to follow what the world says rather than what God says. And before we know it, God becomes silent. On that night, many were not watching. And the Son of God came to no fanfare. The King of the Jews came to very few people. There were a few that were watching. And as a result, they lived with a sense of anticipation. They experienced joy. They were able to worship the child in a manger. And they were able to experience the leading of God in their lives. Look, can I just ask a simple question? Are you watching? Are you aware of what God is doing? If He were to return today, would He find you watching and waiting? He's coming. What if you are watching? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is easy for us to truly get to the place where we see that it's not going to happen today. Yet we know Scripture has told us that it'll happen in a moment in which we don't know. The Magi didn't know the moment that the star would appear in the sky, but they watched every day. And they experienced incredible things. Lord, may we be watching as intently as they were in that day. And may we be hoping for the coming of our Messiah, of our King, of our Savior. And Lord, may we experience that joy, excitement, worship as we wait for You to come and experience Your leading in our lives. Lord, help us not to become apathetic and follow the ways of this world, but to go all in for You as we watch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.